help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing with Psalter number 11, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Jehovah, hear my words, to my thoughts attentive be. Hear my cry, my King, my God, I will make my prayer to thee. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 11.
Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the Gospel according to John, and thereof chapter 19, beginning with verse 19 to 27. But before that, we read the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John 19, beginning with verse 19 to 27. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Thus far as scripture reading, let us now read from the form of the administration of baptism, which can be found on page 127. The form for the administration of baptism, the principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, Holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto them, unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then, baptism has come in the place of circumcision. Therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children therein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, and let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family. And thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 170, the second stanza, "How blessed is the man thou callest and bringest near to thee, that in thy courts forever his dwelling place may be." And what follows in the second stanza of Psalter 170. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to the following questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of His church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments, and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children, when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Mrs. Darina Kraft? Mr. and Mrs. Brendan DeYoung? Mr. and Mrs. Martin Van Hagenbos? Dear parents, we read in the Bible about a little girl who said, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." She was a little girl. She was a little captive girl. She was a little maidservant. She was maidservant of a very mighty and rich man that had everything in this world. But he was a leper. Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. That little captive girl gave unto that rich man a very, very great gift, that he so stood in need of. And what was that gift? It was the gift of hope. Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. What did she say? She said that he is able and he is willing. So sure that little girl was. What a faith that lived in her young heart. She was a girl that was well instructed in the days of her youth. And we find that instruction that was blessed, it was sanctified to her heart. Would God that my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. That girl was in her understanding hundreds of years ahead of her time. Why do we say that? Because this leper was an uncircumcised heathen. but that did not stand in the way for that little girl. What did she see? What did she understand already in the days of her youth? That it was not in that ceremony of circumcision, but that that blessing that was to be received by faith. Thus, without faith, this ceremony, baptism, that is without profit, that will testify against us and our children. And there will be others who have never received it and who will receive the substance thereof. You say, what advantage then hath the Jew? And what profit is there of circumcision? What profit is there of baptism? Much, every way, chiefly because unto them are committed the oracles of God. See it in that little girl. May you be given to so instruct your child, your children, who is brought by the Lord under His word and under His sacrament. And may you be given that prayer, that that word and sacrament may be blessed as it was to that little girl, that that true faith may be born, and that that sacrament and His word would never testify against them. After the amen of baptism, we ask the congregation to arise and to sing Psalter 425, the fifth stanza. Mackenzie Hope, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Tiffany Lynn, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Sophia Alida, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Curtis Joel, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Stand forever. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. We hope to remember Mrs. Van Worthuizen, who has been back and forth from the hospital. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou will be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee, and Thy Son Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God, that Thou may stand on the right and on the left of each one of them, as Satan attempts in our day as never before to ruin Thy church, that Thou may grant unto them that life that they cannot miss, that instruction that they may receive from their parents may be sanctified and blessed, and that true faith may be born. Wilt Thou look upon these parents? Lord, Thou knowest the heart of each one of them. Oh, that Thou may give them strength and courage in our days to go through trial and tribulation, and to fight against all iniquity, to lead their children in the fear of Thee. Remember Thou, grandparents, also great grandparents, some that may be in our midst and others far away, that thou may grant them humble and thankful hearts, that thou givest that their seed and their seed's seed may be brought under thy word of truth. Oh, that thou may give also a prayer before thee, a supplication for the generations to come, that thou may give a place in the inner chamber for our rising generation. Thus there are fathers and mothers, relatives. Lord, there is also a father that is not here. Oh, we beseech thee that thou may remember him where he is. Oh, could it please thee to deliver him out of that pit, because Satan, he is so, so very strong. And there is none of us that are able to put ourselves above him. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, to do more than we dare ask or think. And could it please thee that that blood, that water, that is signifying that blood, oh, that blood, that it may also be applied unto him. And all of us together, oh, instruct us in thy truth. We may be together under word and sacrament this day, a privilege that is not known to many in this world, separated by thee, thy good-doing hand. O Lord, we beseech thee that it may never testify against us in that great day of days, and that we may be brought to acknowledge thee and that a work of thy only begotten Son. O, that thou may open it unto the chiefest of the sinners, because there were Pharisees and there were scribes, but then there were the publicans, and they were despised, but they went into the kingdom of God first. O Lord, show us our heart, show us our sin, outwardly and inwardly, and give us a need for that blood. Oh, make it suitable unto us. Remember us in this morning, when thy word is to go forth once again. Wilt thou stand on our right and on our left hand to give much opening and liberty as thou alone art able. Lord, if there would be a place in this morning for it, then it will be drawn out of us. Wilt thou do it for the sake of thy great name and for thy church? And thou knowest where there are those that are in need. Thou always knowest where they are. We do not know, but in this morning thou knowest the heart. Could it yet be a word which has been prepared by thee for such ones? Wilt thou remember the afflicted and the sick, her that has been in the hospital for these weeks, the pain in the body? Lord, thou hast brought her home, but then disappointments again. We ask of thee thy help for her, and that thou may visit her also in this thy holy day, and her husband also at home. Wilt thou help him in all the difficult circumstances and trials of their life? Look on all thy people. Look on all those that are in need. Look on all those that have become old, and those that may commemorate in this day an anniversary for 58 years that thou hast spared them together. All that thou may give, and that they may desire that other marriage. For this marriage can last not so much longer than it has to end. But Lord, when thou wilt say, I am married unto you, then it will be for time and for eternity. Remember them together and all those that have become old in all the difficulties and frailties of life. Supply thou in all the need. Remember all thy servants who bring thy word in truth, called, sent forth by thee. Lord, thou knowest that it is not in their own strength. But when thou hast thrust them forth, then it is so necessary that thou goest before them Sabbath day after Sabbath day. Oh, that thou would send more servants in thy vineyard, and wilt thou help all those that bring thy word to Jew and Gentile. And be with us also in this morning. Wilt thou be on our right and on our left hand, and wilt thou do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, to be a surprising God to young and old alike. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 164, stanzas 2 and 3. Let us sing stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. We announce the following persons have been examined by the consistory and wish to make public confession of faith. Joshua Busicum, Megan Busicum, Rosaline Janssen, Cornell Oscom, Pamela van Driesten, Celia Vandenberg, Shane Vandenberg. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory by Tuesday, April the 7th. The Lord willing, confession of faith will take place on the morning service of Sunday, April the 12th. Also, the books have arrived for the catechism students. These will be available on Friday evening, the Lord willing, after the service in the basement of the church. The last collection today is for the building funds. Psalter 164, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. congregation. The words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion that was read to you, John 19, and thereof the verses 25 through 27. John 19, verses 25 through 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. So far, the words of our text. Love manifested at the cross. First, cleaving in love. Second, providing in love. Love manifested at the cross. First, cleaving in love. Second, providing in love. At the cross of Christ's congregation, there was not so much love evident. Just the opposite. Malice, envy, cruelty, and much hatred. It is true, we read in God's word that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But who could see it? As they stood there at that cross, when they even heard the Lord Jesus himself crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who can comprehend the love of God? And who can comprehend the love of the Son of God in all of his sufferings for his church? And who has taken notice, and when the Lord has prayed unto his Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Christ, he is for his people so often as such a hidden person. And that love that needs to be manifested, that needs to be revealed unto them for the first time or by renewal, else they are so blind to it. Not far from all this mocking and cruel multitude, there are four persons standing. Who are they? They are the Apostle John and three Marys. Thus, boys and girls, you can remember that so easily because they all have the same name, that is Mary. There is, of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Then her sister, we read, or most likely her sister-in-law, as she has the same name. And then there is Mary Magdalene. What a great contrast. When we see all that cruel and mocking multitude, that we see over against it these several persons standing near the cross of Christ. And instead of malice and hatred, there is living in their hearts a tremendous love, a burning love. John, he calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. But he was that disciple who did experience in his own life that we love him because he first loved us. And we do not know so much about this Mary, the wife of Cleophas. But it is evident when we see her standing in this little group that there is also that same love that is burning in her heart. And what shall we say about Mary Magdalene, out of whom and that the Lord Jesus has cast seven devils? David, when the Lord delivered him from all his enemies, he says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." What is then living in the heart of this Mary Magdalene? Then we see, of course, Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus himself. And what kind of bonds there are there, because they are both the natural bonds of love and they are the bonds also of grace. Simeon, when that a child was born and brought into that temple, he has prophesied of this time that he has said unto Mary, "A sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, and that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And there is no suffering of a son without the piercing of the heart of his mother. There are those in our midst, the fathers and the mothers, that can testify what that piercing of that heart is. But what son has now ever suffered as that son of Mary, as that son of God? Because Isaiah has prophesied of him that he would be a man of sorrows, that he would be acquainted with grief. And so that mother stood there, her tender eyes beholding all the injustices and that cruelty upon her son, and her ears hearing every reproach that that enemy was laying upon him. How that woman was held up by the grace of God in those hours. Because we can read of Hagar, when she feared for the death of her son Ishmael, that we read that she sat a good way off. And why? Because she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." Oh, do you understand it? Outside of the strength from above, then there is no ability to endure it, because it is too much for our flesh. every particular of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. They were as swords in the open wounds of that mother. And not only that mother for the natural love, but also of that Apostle John, that Apostle of love. And for this sister Mary and for Mary Magdalene, because of that love of grace. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene, those weak women. They have received more strength to go through that trial than most of the disciples who have fled. Ask now those women, what is happening? Ask now those women and John. Ask them how that this, what is happening, is consistent with the prophecies concerning the Messiah. Ask them if it is consistent with all the hopes and with all the expectations that have been living in their hearts for these 3 years. What would they say to you? Congregation, is there a people in our midst for whom that it goes wrong in your life? Is there a people for whom it goes so wrong? What a confusion. What a perplexity is in the heart of John and those women. At the sentence of Pilate, at the carrying out of that sentence, how can it be? How is it possible? And yet it is reality. It is happening before their eyes. It cannot be denied. And they can read what it says there. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Or had they not believed it? Had they not trusted? And where is now his power? And then they have to hear that mocking of that enemy that says, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross and we will believe thee. Oh, then there is something also within them that is saying, is there not something of truth in that mocking of that enemy? Why does he not exert now his power? Oh, why see we not? Why feel we not his power? As we have felt it in days gone by. Why does he not exercise it for his own good? And for the good of his people. for the good of his church? And why is now the enemy allowed so to mock that he said he was the Son of God? Let him now have him if he will. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. They stood there by the cross. Why? Surely that devil, he has tormented them. Surely the devil, he has said in that hour, what is now become of everything that you have thought? What has now become of everything that you have believed? What has now become of everything that you have confessed and spoken of in your life? And yet they stood there. By the cross. They did not leave it. And why not? Was it because that faith that was so strong that they could believe through everything that was taking place? Was it because they still could hope that with Abraham, against hope, they could believe in hope? Still, when everything was going against them, I don't know. I don't know where their faith was. I don't know where their hope was, because there are times in the life of that church that there is no more hope, that there is no more faith. Jeremiah, he says, my strength and my hope that is perished from the Lord. Congregation, oh, is your strength and is your hope, is that perished from the Lord? Because it goes so, so wrong in your life. There is one thing. There is one thing that was not gone. And what was that one thing? That was love. Therefore they stood there. Therefore they did not go away. Then the world can mock. And I can be so afraid. And faith can be gone. And hope can be perished. But congregation, does love remain? Do you know what Paul says? He says, now abideth these three. Faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is love. And why? Because love that never faileth. When everything, when nothing could be seen anymore in the life of Peter, what did the Lord ask him? He says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? lovest thou. And why? Because it is at the bottom. It is at the bottom. It is that most basic, that most fundamental mark that is lying in that true people of the Lord. And Peter, though everything testified against him, oh, then he still had to say, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. No, they cannot understand it. They cannot comprehend it. They cannot explain it. But they love him still. They love him still. And therefore they stand there. And they stand there as near to him as they are able. Until later, probably, that they have to stand, we read, afar off. Oh, if they could help him. But they cannot help him. But when they cannot help him, then they would be near to him. Though they can do nothing, though they can say nothing, but they, oh, if they could yet hear something. If they could hear yet his last words. And so they did hear. And they were words also that were so full of love. Let us sing 204, 1 and 3. O God, how good thou art to all the pure of heart, though life seems vain. Burdened with anxious care, I grope in dark despair, till in thy house of prayer all was made plain. 1 and 3 of Psalter 204. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and a disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. What is it? We see another manifestation of love, and that is now from another side, and he has spoken to Mary, but he has also taken notice of that love that was in them all, because he has recorded it in his holy book, that is, that it may be a testimony unto the end of the world in his word. When Jesus therefore saw his mother. You must remember that the Lord Jesus, he was not only God, but he was also a man. And in what man in all this world were the bowels of compassion greater than in the Lord Jesus Christ? Added to his suffering was the distress of his mother. In that time, that sword that was piercing through her soul also. And it is in the climax of his suffering, that is, in the suffering of his soul and in the suffering of his body, even as he himself had to cry out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That the Lord Jesus, he is caring for his mother. He had to forsake all in order that he may save his church. But he has not forgotten his earthly mother. And that was now one of the last cares that the Lord Jesus had while he was upon this earth. In the midst of his payment for all the sins of his people, or in all his afflictions, then it was his church that was the object of his burning affections, the object of his love. And then there is not the smallest thing which was for him too small to care for in the life of his people. Woman, behold thy son. No, not mother. And why not mother? Because the Lord Jesus would not send that dagger deeper into the heart of his mother. But he has rather directed her away from all those relations which are earthly, which are sensual, and which are in these moments about to pass away, never to return. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. but are as the angels of God in heaven. Then there is no more earthly father or mother, brother or sister, but all are united in one body in the Lord Jesus Christ. Woman, behold thy son. Thus the Lord Jesus takes care of every need that is still lasting for his mother in this world. He does not give her gold. He does not give her silver. Because with the apostles, silver and gold, those he had none. But he gives to her a caregiver for the rest of her days here below. How is it with us? How is it with our duty unto our old mother, unto our old father? Because Solomon, he says, hearken unto thy father who begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Thus Christ, he has in the last hours of his life left unto his church a blessed example. Mary, she was in deep sorrow. She had not the thoughts upon herself. They were all thoughts that were upon Christ. And when her thoughts went out to him, and when her heart burned in love and sorrow, then the Lord Jesus, he has taken care of all her needs. Oh, is it not evident what the Lord Jesus has said? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, if Christ, his thoughts were so on his people, in his suffering, how much more are his thoughts on his church now in his glory? Oh, why are you fearful? Oh, you have little faith. What does Peter say? He says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Woman, behold thy son. Behold thy mother. To whom? To John. That was the apostle that was full of love, chosen by the Lord Jesus to take care of his mother, to be her guardian. Because why? Oh, it is that love. It is that love that will bear him up through all the burdens. It is that love that will carry him through all the trials that may yet be before him in this. And we see it was so, because we read that John immediately obeys the Lord Jesus, and from that hour he took her unto his own home. Congregation, it is a simple word this morning, but it is such an important word, and it is such a precious word. It is manifested love at that cross of Christ. That is a cleaving love. That is a providing love. When our children, they can answer that. When, boys and girls, is love planted in the heart of God's children? Do you know? that is in that day, that the Lord would answer your prayer and give to you a new heart. A new heart. Do you know what you will feel in your heart? You will feel love. That is love to God. That will be your own experience. That love, children, that love that never dies. That is the means in the hands of the Lord to preserve His church. What is preservation? What do we say? We believe in the perseverance of the saints. What is that? That is that those saints, God's children, the church, they will persevere even to the end. That they will never fall out of grace. Can they keep themselves? No. We heard it this past week, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What is now? That means that the Lord is using to preserve His church, that is love. Love, that is the only way that a man can come through all the trials and all the storms that will come against him in that life of grace. Young people, Peter says in his epistle that in the epistles of Paul, there are some things that are difficult to be understood. Do you find that so? Difficult to understand. Even Peter. What will maintain a young man under the mockery of the enemy of the truth when he is not able to explain that truth, when he doesn't have an answer for that enemy? What will now maintain that man? What will now keep him with that truth, though he does not understand it? One thing. Love. Love. Will you ask the Lord for love? Pliable. He came out of that city of destruction with Christian. They both fell together in that slough of despond. And then we hear it. Then we hear it. Ah, neighbor Christian, where are you now? Where are you now? Do you know what he said? He said, truly, I do not know. I do not know. How many times does that church not have to say with that man, truly, I do not know where I am now. With John and with these three Marys, oh, where are you now? Truly, I do not know. Oh, Bunyan, he was so well acquainted by the Spirit of the Lord with that life of grace. And if it was not for love, then our understanding would go back. Pliable went back. There was no love. That is understanding alone. But love, that cannot go back. It cannot go back when it does not understand. It cannot go back though it is perplexed. Oh, it cannot go back because love that draws, oh congregation, it is a simple word. It is so important. Are you a stranger of that love? Are you a stranger of that drawing love? Are you a stranger of that love that cleaves to Him through everything, through every storm, through every trial? It is a love that begins with God. It is a love by the stripping work of the Spirit of the Lord that is brought also to His Son. It is a love that ends in a triune God. It is a love that cannot miss Him. Read the Song of Solomon, that book of loves. Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. For thy love is better than wine. And now those women, what did they see in that cross? They did not see a victory there. They could not see as far as we may know. Because they do not know the resurrection. Oh, they saw defeat. They saw disgrace. But it was love. It was love that drew them to that cross. And it was love that kept them at that cross. And it is only that love by which that church, they shall never be separated from the Lord. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? No trial, no tribulation. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, who can change His affections? Who can give love in His own heart? Thy servant did say, we love Him because He first loved us. Oh, that Thou may look on us and grant us that love that never dies and by which alone we can go through every trial. Oh, that Thou may uphold Thy own, forgiving all of our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 398, 1 and 3. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones bowed down with grief are helped by His most gracious hand. 1 and 3 of Psalter 398. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.